All right, Shabbosai, good morning. Let's begin. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today is daf chaf 20. We are picking up, Baruch Hashem, from my time at the Rebbe. It's on Yutes Amud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Seth and Rachel Rotenberg in preparation of the yard site of Seth's father, Zev Ben Chaim Shmuel, Zichron Lebrach, Yovnin and the Merit of our Talmud Torah's Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. We also have a sponsorship by Natan and Leah Berry in honor of the yard site of Leah's grandfather, Avram Chaim Ben Gedalia, Zichron Lebracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And to Ayal, thank you to Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, dedicating the Shi'urim this month in commemoration of the yard site of Ayal's mother, Ilya Daphna Bas Yosef. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in the Chama. All right, Tabosei, so let's begin. So remember, we left off yesterday with a riveting machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Berib Shimon, specifically about Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. If the Kohen goes out and sanctifies his hands and feet, essentially, what's the shelf life of that sanctification? How long does it go on before it has to be renewed? So Rebbe Paskins, Rebbe says that halacha lemaisa kiddush adayim v'raglayim. He says kiddush adayim v'raglayim essentially only lasts through that day and the following night. But comes the following morning, the kohen would need to go ahead and re-sanctify his hands and feet. Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon says no. Once a kohen sanctifies his hands and feet, does kiddush adayim v'raglayim, that kiddush, that sanctification remains in effect until when? Until this Hesach Hadas, until the Kohen removes his intention. Which we're assuming presumably means until the Kohen leaves the Beis HaMikdash. So for argument's sake, if the Kohen is running on a Kohanic adrenaline and he's doing Avodah for 5 days straight, without any lapse in concentration, so Rabbi Elazar Shimon says that halacha lamaisa, one kiddush adayim v'raglayim suffices, and he need not sanctify his hands and feet every new day. Says the Gemara, my time with the Rebbe. So what's Rebbe's logic? The siv begishtam, because the pasuk says begishtam, when the coin comes close to do the avodah. Rashi says over here, the siv begishtam, it's 6 lines up on the bottom. Begisha the shachar is gishach risi yishari yish kama aracha chadosha. So Rebbe understands that the word gisha, begishtam, the pasuk is, o begishtam alam izbeach l'sharis l'akteri shal Hashem, that gisha represents, again, a new day's avodah. So therefore, again, according to Rabbi, each and every day the Kohen has to re-sanctify his hands and feet. My time to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. What's Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon's logic? The Chsiv Bivoam. They say, when does the Kohen have to do it? When he comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says, Bivoam, Baharizeh lo yatsa. In other words, you have to go ahead and do it ultimately again when, halacha lemaisa, you come to the Beis HaMikdash. And once you come, ultimately again, the sanctification works and it's in effect until you leave. So says the Gemara, v'idach, hana miksev bivoam. So we'll say, what does Rebbe do with the word bivoam? Ikasev bigishtam lo kasev bivoam. So inachinami, if the Torah would have just said bigishtam and not bivoam, hava amin al kol gisha v'gisha. I would have thought that every single time the coin comes into the Beis HaMikdash, he requires kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Therefore, kasev rachmona bivoam. Therefore, the pasuk says bivoam, v'idach nami haksev bigishtam. What does Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon do with the word bigishtam? Ikasev bivoam, v'lo kasev bigishtam. Say, if the Torah would have just said bivoam and not bigishtam, sahava amina afilu abia rekonis. So ultimately, you know, we'll say, I would have thought that a Kohen has to do kiddush adayim v'raglayim, even what? We'll say, abia rekonis literally means if he comes into the Beis HaMikdash without doing avodah. Let's say he just walks in, he's not doing avodah. So I might have thought that we'd have to do kiddush adayim v'raglayim is there as well. Haksiv. So the Gemara says, Abiyarikonis, how can you say that a Kohen would be chayv to do kiddush adayim v'raglayim if he's just coming in without the intention to do the avodah? Haksiv l'sharis. The pasuk explicitly says, when is there a din ultimately of kiddush adayim v'raglayim? L'sharis ultimately only when there is a service in the Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara says, "Ela begishtam miboyle lechidur of Achar bar Yaakov." Rather, I will say the word begishtam is required for the following drasha. Domer of Achar bar Yaakov, hakol modin mikidush sheni shuhu lavush. So the Gemara says, so what happens? So the Gemara says, So ultimately, again, everyone agrees that on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Osei, that by the time he comes, Bekidusheni, when he comes to do the second sanctification, that's done ultimately once he's wearing the big day kahuna. The Gemara says, Damakra, O Begishtam, Misha'ina Mechusar Ela Gisham Bilabad. Because the Pasuk says, or when he comes, when he approaches, someone who is only Mechusar, someone who is only lacking the approach. Yotza Zesh Mechusar Levisha Ugisha. So we'll say they use the word Begishtam to teach me a din by the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Lahakdir Isha Lamali. So what about the phrase Lahakdir Isha? What does that come to teach me? Top of Chof. Mahu detema, what would I have thought? Hani mili avoda de ma'akva kapora. So Rabbi said, listen to this. So when it says lahakter isha, what does that come to teach me? That says as follows. I would have thought that the obligation for kiddush adayim v'raglayim only is if the kohen, only comes about if the kohen is going to be doing an avoda that is ma'akiv kapora. In other words, part of avoda that if you don't do it, will compromise the atonement aspect of the carbon. Aval avoda delo ma'akva kapara, but for an avoda avosa which is not ma'akev kapara, doesn't in any way hold back kapara. So the Gemara says, lo, I might have thought that there is no obligation for kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Therefore, the Gemara says, kamash malo, no, that any time the kohen enters into the Beis HaMikdash to perform some type of avoda, there is a din of kiddush adayim v'raglayim. There is a din ultimately of sanctification of his hands and feet. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Am Rav Yochanan. So what's Rav Dimi Kiyasa Rav Yochanan? He said in the name of Rav Yochanan. By Ilfa. Ilfa asked the following shayla. L'divrei ha'omer ein lina mo'eles b'kidosh adayim v'raglayim. Supposed to listen to this. Literally translated, according to the opinion who says that lina, staying overnight, does not go ahead and negatively impact the sanctification of the hands and the feet. Also, which is another way of saying the shita of Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon, namely, that once you wash your hands and feet, that sanctification is good as long as what? As long as what? You don't have a lapse of awareness, right? As long as you're quote-unquote concentration, that you have no hesech hadas. So however long that is, one sanctification could go a very long way. So according to that opinion, Rebbe Elazar, who holds that one sanctification could span a significant amount of time as long as there's no lapse of awareness, make cure Mahu sheyifsu. Well, so listen to this very interesting question. What about the mekir? What about the water of the kir? So remember again, we saw it yesterday already. The kir is the large wash basin, right, which the Kohanim used for Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. So we'll say, if you leave water in that kir overnight, does that water become pasul belina? We'll say, lina means that for certain sacrificial or consecrated items, sitting overnight disqualifies it. So if water sits in the kiyar overnight, is that water disqualified or not? Rashi says, Maushi, so we'll say third line down from the top in Rashi, Belino imlo shaka babar b'nei agola. We'll discuss that in just a moment, actually. So miyam rinan, hani lamai. So we'll say, on one hand, we could say, well, what is this water used for? L'kiddush adayim v'raglayim. It's ultimately used for the sanctification of hands and feet. Well, kiddush adayim v'raglayim gufayhu lo possible hulina. So on one hand, I could say, well, the sanctification of hands and feet doesn't become disqualified over the night. In other words, I will say, this is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that if the sanctification ultimately, again, is not invalidated by the passage of night, then what? Then the Gemara says, if the sanctification of hands and feet does not become possible overnight, then what? Then the water used to accomplish that does not become possible, you know. Oh, Dilma, kevan the kiddush lehu b'kli shareis mifsili. Or maybe we say, no, once that water comes into the kior is effectively a kli shareis, a service vessel, and once it sits there overnight, it becomes disqualified. So we'll say an interesting halacha. Now we'll say, you understand, by the way, the importance of this particular question, because the shayla is, do you have to do something with the leftover water of the kir that night, or can you just leave it alone? So, kiyasa ravin, am rabbi yirmiya, we'll say first wide line, chafam dalif, am rabbi yirmiya, am rabbi ami, am rabbi yochanan, hadir pashit ilfa. Ilfa then answered his own question, ki machlokes bezum, kach machlokes bezum. So we'll say, ilfa said, the same machlokes which applies to kiddush adayim v'raglayim, namely, does kiddush adayim v'raglayim also have a shelf life? Does it have a maximum effectiveness range? Right? That same machlokes by kiddush adayim v'raglayim applies to the water of the kior as well. Amar lefano Rabbi Yitzchak bar Bisna, so Rabbi ata omer kein, So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna said, Rabbi, do you really say this? Elohachi Amar Abasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishmei Di'ilfa Kiyar Shelo Shakul Mi Ba'erev Mekadesh Mimenu Avodas Laila Ulumachar Eino Mekadesh. So Rabbi said, we'll translate this and then we'll explain it. The Kiyar, Rabbi said, that was not immersed. We'll discuss what this means in just a moment. The Kiyar, which was not immersed, so Mi Ba'erev, the following evening, Mekadesh Mimenu La'avodas Laila. You could still go ahead and use its water to sanctify hands and feet for any avoda done that night. Ulamachar eino mekadesh. But for the next day, you cannot use the water. So the Gemara says, v'havinan ba. We asked about this. We're going to explain what this means in just a moment. Ulamachar eino mekadesh delo tzarech lekidush. What does it mean when we say that the next morning you can't sanctify hands and feet? Is that because the next morning sanctification is not required? O dilma if salubalino. Or is it because the waters themselves ultimately became pasulina v'lo pashat lan? And ultimately, again, it was not answered. Umar ka pashat le mifshat. And ultimately, again, you're now answering it. We'll say, watch this. Tashma ben katin asa shnei masar dad lekir. So we'll say, Ben Katin went ahead and made 12 spigots or 12 faucets for the kiyur, for the wash basin. What else did he do? Afu asa muchni lekiyur shelo yumeimav nifsalin belina. I will say, it's actually quite interesting. What else did he do? He employed, I will say, essentially like a pulley mechanism. Now, what was this? So the kiyur, the way it worked was, I will say, that the kiyur was attached to a mechanism, which was you were able to hoist it up and lower it down into a spring of water. So why did he do that? Shelo yumeimav nifsalin belina. We'll say, because instead of going through the work of going ahead and filling up the kiyar, draining the kiyar for leftover waters and then refilling it, so Ben Katan went ahead and made this mechanism where essentially the kiyar could be lifted up and immersed into a spring of water. Now we'll say, now what that did was, the waters could therefore sit inside the kiyar all night, and there's no issue of lina. There is no issue of leaving the water there overnight because they are connected with our normative water source. My love. So what are we concerned about over here? My love, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. So does this not reflect the view of Shimon Elazar ben Rabbi who holds that what? That lemaisa again ain lina mo elas bekidush adayim v'raglayim. That ultimately again that there is no problem with the water remaining overnight. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, Rebbe." So ultimately, no. Rather, it reflects the view of Rebbe. To which the Gemara says, "V'hami d'reish Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon seifa nami Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon." But if that's the case, if the first part of the brisa is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, then ultimately again, the seifa should be as well. To which the Gemara says, "Diktani reisha balo itzal paro." Because let's remember again, what's the beginning of that brisa? The beginning of that brisa is when the Kohen Gadol comes before his par. Right, the Kohen Gadol comes before his. Also, just by the way, one important just detail on this. If you look at Rashi, Shnema Sardad, Rashi says 12 faucets. Why 12? Shemotzi Neimov, Ve'aminim Beseder Yumashu, Shnema Sar Kohanim Ha'oskim Betamid, Mikachim Abasachos. So, this is actually very interesting. The maximum number of Kohanim that you would need for the Tamid service would be 12. So Ben Katan made 12 spigots, 12 faucets, so that this way, again, anyone who needed Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim could all accomplish it together. This was an efficiency issue. So we'll say, so the Gemara wants to suggest now, we'll look at the Reisha of that Braisa. Balo Eitzel Paro. So we'll say, listen to this. The Kohen Gadol went ahead and comes to his cow, on Yom Kippur. Upara upar hayo omid bena ulam la mizbeach. Listen to this. Now the cow was standing in between the ulam, which is the antechamber, which was, remember again, the base hamikdash structure itself was like a T. You had the long and narrow area called the ulam, and you had a rectangular box behind it called the mikdash. So the part of the Kohen Gadol was standing between the ulam and the mizbeach. The truth is, you could see, by the way, I think in Rashi, you have this picture over here, right? I'm sorry? Or there's a picture on WhatsApp also. But only look at the picture on your WhatsApp. Nothing else. Right? So, you could just look in your Gemara. I know, like, it's such a novel idea, right? Most of the Gemaras have a picture of, everybody has a picture of, yeah. So you could see it over here. It's a very simple picture. So you have the Mizbeach, you have the altar. Now remember, again, the one part that's missing in that picture is the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach, but that's fine. It's not important for our purposes now. You have the Ulam, which is like the top of the T of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash behind it. So the cow of the Kohen Gadol, the power, was placed in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Rosha l'danam part of l'marav, so we'll say its head was towards the south, and it was facing towards the west. Uva Kohen omid b'mizrach, Kohen was standing in the east, upon of l'marav, facing west. So manchtam, say darabena Ulam Mizbeach Tzafon, who is the opinion who holds that between the Mizbeach and the Ulam is still considered to be Tzafon, is still considered to be northern. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, we'll say this is the opinion of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, why? Disanya, Ezehu Tzafon. So we'll say the Gemara discusses again what is considered north. Now, we'll say, the Gemara is asking over here, again, we're not going to delve too deeply into it now, but the Gemara is asking over here is, like if you look in Ezu Makoman, so you'll notice again certain blood applications and certain karbanos have to be done in different directions. So the Shaila becomes how far do certain directions extend within the courtyard area by the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Ezu Tzafon, what's the definition of Tzafon? Mikir Mizbeach Tzafon. Kosa Zara Tzafoni, from the northern side of the Mizbeach until, Ezu Tzafon, Mikir Mizbeach Tzafoni, Vat Kosal Azara Tzafoni, from the northern side of the Mizbeach until the northern wall of the Azara. Ukineget Kala Mizbeach Kulot Tzafon. And opposite the entire area of the Mizbeach is called Tzafon. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon adds on and he says, Af Bein Ha'ulam V'la Mizbeach. Even between the Ulam and the Mizbeach is still considered to be Tzafon. So we'll say, most times when we're talking about directional areas, we're usually referring to areas in front of the Mizbeach, not behind the Mizbeach. When I say behind the Mizbeach, I mean the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Yet, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that even between the Ulam and the Mizbeach is considered to be, quote-unquote, the northern area. Rabbi Mosif, af drisas ragle hakohanim, umakom drisas ragle Yisrael. Rabbi adds on, even the area where the Kohanim would traverse, or where the Israelim would traverse, abal mina chalifos v'lifnim, Hakomodim Shepasel. I will say everyone agrees the Khalifos is the base Khalifos, the knife chamber. Where was the knife chamber? See, even if you look at your image in Rashi, you'll notice that when you enter into the Ulam, if you walk up the steps into the Ulam, to the right and to the left, in other words, the two edges of the T, was called the base HaKhalifos. So the Gemara says, everyone agrees that from that area already, again, that is no longer called Tzafon, and therefore, again, off limits for sacrificial purposes. V'tizbara, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, he velo Rabbi. So ultimately, again, and we see this is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and not Rabbi. So the Gemara says, Hashter Rabbi, ad Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda Mosif. So if Rabbi is adding on, ultimately, again, to the Sheet Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda, Ad Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon lo Mosif. Certainly he's adding on to this position of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon as well. This is what we mean to say. If you want to say that this reflects the position of Rabbi, then you could go ahead and set it up as discussing the area where the Kohanim would traverse or the Israelim would traverse. Ella my Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Lukma mi Ella my Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rather, you have to say that what reflects the Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. If that's the case, Lukma mi Kir Mizbeach Tzafoni ad Kosel Azar Tzafoni. If that's the case, then set it up as discussing from the Kir Mizbeach Tzafoni, the northern wall of the Mizbeach, until the northern wall of the Azara. Ela ma'isla cholameimar mishum chulsha de Kohen Gadol. Hachinam mishum chulsha de Kohen Gadol. So it's actually very interesting. So therefore, what do you have to say? How do you explain the Shita of Elazar Rabbi Shimon? Mishum chulsha de Kohen Gadol. If you take a look at Rashi, it's about 12 lines up from the bottom. Mishum chulsha de Kohen Gadol. Shekol avodas pinim shel mekipurim alav. V'tash kocho. Lahachi memaatin safon ledivrei hakol. So we'll say this is actually quite interesting. So apparently, even though we would normally say that for directional issues, We don't like to extend beyond the edge of the Mizbeach. In other words, we don't like to do things in the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, and what we'll call the temple structure, the temple structure proper. But for Yom Kippur is an exception to this. Why? Mishum Chosha, the Kohen Gadol, will say, see, the Kohen Gadol is moving around a lot. Remember, again, Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol was an incredibly... it must have been an incredibly strenuous, I don't want to say the word grueling, but it's a pretty grueling day. In other words, he's working the entire day. And remember, the Avodah of Yom Kippur could only be done through the Kohen Gadol. So part of what Rabbi Zev Shimon says is what we do is, in order just to minimize the exertion a little bit, we try to centralize everything as close as possible. So instead of making the Kohen walk to the other side of the Mizbeach, ultimately to do the Avodah of the Par, we just bring the Par in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. What it just does is it minimizes the exertion to some small degree, making the life of the Kohen just a little bit easier. So both sides. But bottom line, Halacha L'maisa, how do we paskin? Well, actually, let's finish a little bit. Because remember, all of this, just so you understand, what's the bigger question that we have yet to resolve is Rebbe Elazar Rishon, which is a fundamental shayla. When the Kohen does Kiddush Lev Raglayim, washes his hands and feet. So what's our shayla? What's the shelf life of that? How long does that Kiddush Lev Raglayim work for? So ultimately, again, remember, Rebbe says, at most, if you come in the morning and wash your hands and feet, it only works, longest it works for is until when? The next morning. That's the longest. Even if you haven't left the Beis HaMikdash, you're doing the Avodah the entire time, comes the next morning, you have to re-sanctify. Rabbi Elazar Shimon says, no. When you sanctify your hands and feet, that sanctification works for how long? For as long as you have no Hesech Hadas. So again, we still have not resolved that machlokes. So hold on, we're going to get there. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kiddush yadav raglav l'tshumas hadeshen, l'machar inu tzarech l'kaddish, shekvar kiddush mitchilas avodah. Now this is very interesting. Let's say the Kohen shows up for work in the morning. Now we'll say the first order of business in the Beis HaMikdash was the tshumas hadeshen, the removal of the ash from the Mizbeach. Remember again, there are no karbanos at night. So what does happen at night? Excuse me. The burning of the leftover fats and limbs, which meant that when you came into the Beis HaMikdash the next morning, there was a pile of ash on the Mizbeach. So the first order of business is clearing off the ash from the Mizbeach. So let's say, when is that done? That is done already again before sunrise. That's done before daybreak. So Kohen walks into the Beis HaMikdash, does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, and essentially he's doing it when? Kind of when it's still nighttime. Shabbos say, now what's the Shaila? The Shaila is, when the sun rises, does he have to re-sanctify or not? To which Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Once he did Kiddush Lev Raglayim in the morning for Trumas HaDeshen, he need not re-sanctify. Why? Shekvar Kiddush Mitchilas Avodah. Because we say that Trumas HaDeshen is the beginning of the day's Avodah, and even though what, it is occurring before daybreak, that's considered to be the beginning, you don't have to re-sanctify. So Laman, whose opinion does this reflect? Rebbe Ha'amar Paslalina. So I'll say, if it's Rebbe, listen, according to Rebbe, it shouldn't be true. According to Rebbe, Rebbe will say, when the sun comes up, then what should be the halacha? You should have to re-sanctify. Because Rebbe says that, again, sanctification only works until the beginning of the next day. If you're coming to work early, before daybreak, then you sanctify your hands and your feet, that's fine for that period of time, but once the sun comes up, you should have to re-sanctify. Either Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, Ha'amar, Interach L'Kadish, Afidu Mikayim V'Adasar Yamim. And if it is, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, then what Rabbi Osai? He holds sanctification could extend for however long you want, as long as it lasts a kadas. To which the Gemara says, Amar Abayi says, the Olam Rebbe, really this reflects the opinion of Rebbe, Velina Dirabanani. Both say the concept of Lina, the concept, meaning what the Gemara now is saying is something very important, which is that Me'ikar Adin, according to the letter of the law, if you're a Kohen and you do Kiddush Lev Raglayim, sanctify your hands and feet, that sanctification works for however long as you don't have Hesach Hadas, as long as you don't have a lapse of awareness. There's a Din D'Rabbanan that says no. We would like you to re-sanctify every single morning. There's a Din D'Rabbanan. But, so the Gemara says, Umodi D'Mikros HaGevra V'At Safra Lo Pas Lalino. And ultimately, again, but even Rebbe agrees that what? That when you, if you're coming to work for the day, you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash to do the Avodah for the day, Rebbe will say, and what? But you're coming before daybreak, even Rebbe will agree that the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim that's done, even though it might technically be done when it's quote-unquote night, because that is the beginning of the day's avoda, that sanctification works for that entire day. So I will say, this is the novelty over here. Even though Rebbe said normally night causes an end to your Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, but if you're coming to start the day's avoda when it's still technically night, in other words, before daybreak, that Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim works. To which the Gemara says, Rava Amar, the Olam Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Hi. So the Gemara says, V'ra'a, Rabbi Yochanan B'dvarav, B'tchilas Avoda, V'lo B'sof Avoda. Or the other possibility is that, no, it does reflect the view of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Yochanan holds of him by the beginning of Avoda, but not by the Sof Avoda, by the end of Avoda. Okay, so may say, Rabbi say, now either way, the good news is, everyone seems to be agreeing that what? That if you're showing up for work that morning, but you're showing up while it's still technically what? Nighttime. And you do Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim then, you need not re-sanctify when the sun comes up, because that is considered to be the beginning of that day's avoda. So we'll say, watch this. What happens if, so Rashi quotes that this is a Mishnah from Tamid. So let's say again, the coins coming down from the Mizbeach with the shovel full of ash for the Trumas Hadeshen. The other Kohanim see him coming down. And what happens? The other Kohanim see the coin coming down from the Mizbeach with the ash. They run, and they sanctify their hands and their feet from the Kiyor. Okay, so what's happening over here? So says the Gemara. One second. Fine. Says the Gemara. Bishlam ala Abaye, demokim laki Rebbe, umod Rebbe demikros agaravat safal apostolina, so hamani Rebbe. So we'll say, so this makes sense that the other Kohanim are running to go ahead and do their Kiddush V'Raglayim now, even though what? It's before daybreak. Because again, since at the end of the day, even though it's before daybreak, but it's the beginning of the day's avoda, then it doesn't pose a problem. Ella l'rava demokim lo kirebi Elazar Rav Shimon. Right? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Ella l'rava demokim lo kirebi Elazar Rav Shimon. Aval l'rebi mikros agevra at safra pasla lina hamani. So we'll say, but according to Rabbi, who sets this up, according to that's like Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. But according to Rebbe, ultimately, again, a kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim done before daybreak will be pasul. Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? So e Rebbe pasul alina. If it's Rebbe, Rabbi said, then if they're doing kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, even though again they're doing it for the beginning of the day's avoda, but they're ultimately doing it before daybreak, it should be pasul. Meaning, it should be pasul once the sun rises. E Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon ha'amar afilu mikan v'adasariyam enos arach lekadesh. And if it's Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, then ultimately he says that what? That halacha lemaisa, any kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim is good. I will say, as long as you don't have hesach hadas, to which the Gemara says, the olam k'rebi Elazar Rav Shimon. Really, it's like Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. I will say, what's the case over here? V'ocham ha'askinon be'kohani chadati. I will say, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about kohani chadati. Rashi says, shaloshim shu balayla, v'lohayu rechus Adayim V'Raglayim. And ultimately, again, so we're talking about both like Kohanim who are just coming on shift. So because you're just coming on shift, they never did Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim to begin with. And what the Braisa or the Mishnah is describing over here is what? That they're sanctifying their hands and their feet for the first time. So Shabbos, like, if you take a look for just a moment, go back for just a second to the last Rashi on Chaf Amud Aleph. So Rashi says, Miro v'kidshu, lohotzi es hadeshen shevamakom ha'aracha o l'sakun l'tapuach, shevem tzam izbeach, v'hoch itzinan buhu, hasam echalu ma'alin ba'afar, Be'efer, be'agabi atapuach, ve'kasaka daitra be'kohanim she'avdu kol alayla kai, u'mikdoshe yadayim v'raglayim hayu, u'tzrichin lachzor l'kadesh achsha. So we'll say, what Gemara essentially says is, you misunderstood the case. We thought that what's happening over here in this Mishnah is that the Kohanim see the other Kohen coming down from the Mizbeach with the shovel full of ash. They run to sanctify their hands and their feet in order to participate in Trumas Hadeshen. We thought that the case was they were already working in the Beis Hamikdash that night, but yet to do Trumas Hadeshen, they're re-sanctifying. We were trying to figure out, why is there a need for re-sanctification? I don't understand. Whose opinion does that reflect? To which Rabbi Osai, the Gemara ultimately answers, no. The case in the Mishnah to Rabbi Osai is what? When we say that Kohanim are running to sanctify their hands and their feet, why are they running to sanctify their hands and their feet? Because again, they're just coming on shift now. They had not been working in the Beis HaMikdash that night before. They're reporting for duty now, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, they have to go ahead and sanctify their hands and feet now for the first time that day. So bottom line, who do we paskin like in this fascinating discussion, or this fascinating machlokes, ultimately again between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon about halacha lemaisa again? About halacha lemaisa kedushat ha'ragel, I'm supposed to listen to this. So the Rambam in Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, this is Perek Hey, halacha Gimel, writes as follows. He says, "Ein hakoin tzarach lekadesh bein kol avoda va'avoda." First of all, again, the Rambam paskins, a kohen need not sanctify his hands and feet in between one avoda and the next. So rather, what does he do? Ela pam achos mekadish baboker va'oved va'holech kol hayom kula v'chol halayla. And the halacha is he sanctifies his hands and feet one time in the morning, and that sanctification takes him through that day and that night. V'hu shelo yotza min hamikdash. Rabbi say this is provided that what? That over the course of that day and night, the kohen did not go ahead and leave the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo yashan, he didn't fall asleep. V'lo yatil mayim, and he didn't relieve himself. We're going to discuss relieving himself, Rabbi Osai, in just a little bit. V'lo yasich daito, and ultimately, again, he does not remove his intention at all. So, bottom line, how does the Rambam paskin? So the Rambam ultimately paskins like Rebbe, that halacha lemaisa, the maximum amount of time that any kiddush adayim v'raglayim works for is how long? One day and one night. But comes the next morning, even if you haven't left the Beis HaMikdash, you must be sanctified. Rabbi Osai, just so you should know, this is an important halacha for us. Why? Because this very much is mirrored in our contemporary halachos of netilas adayim. Rabbi Osai, this shaila comes up for us in just a little while. Shavuos night, is there a din of netilas yadayim? Do you have to wash nigel vaser Shavuos morning if you were up the entire night learning? So it's actually machlokes. It's machlokes. Shavuos say, so what do? We actually go ahead and wash again the next morning. We go ahead and we wash again the next morning. There's a hoshayla with the bracha, about to make a bracha or not, but me'ikar adin, there is an obligation of new netilah every single morning. What is that modeled after? This halacha. The same way that the kohen has to do a brand new kiddush. I'm supposed to say again, so just so you understand how this plays out. The kohen is running a kohanic marathon, and mamish again, he has been doing the avoda the whole morning, plus the whole night, and he's still going. He's kohanic energizer bunny. He's still going the next morning also. He has to stop, re-sanctify hands and feet, and then continues on. So the Rambam ultimately paskins like Rebbe. Good. Weiter. So we'll say another number of interesting cases. So we'll say, watch this. What happens if the coin leaves the Beis HaMikdash? Rashi says, Yitzia, chutz la'azara, ma'u shetol, k'derek sheposa b'chal ha'kadashim, shekat shebukli sharis, shem yotzil of samyosu. Listen to this. I know that if I take a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the carbon is pasul. What happens if the coin leaves the confines of the Beis HaMikdash? Does that, by definition, bring to an end his act of Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim and require him to do another Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim when he comes back in? Imtim Salomar, Lina Lo Pasla, Delo Parish. So we'll say, ultimately, again, do we say, if the coin's staying there overnight, so that does not invalidate his Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, why? Delo Parish, so we'll say, Lo Parish means he has not separated himself from the Avoda. On the other hand, Avayitzia De Parish, Asuchi Masach Daite. Rabbi say when he leaves the Beis HaMikdash, or he's actively separating himself from the Mikdash, that act of separation perhaps does bring to an end his Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. O Dilma, Kevin Deviyado Lachzor Lo Masach. Or Rabbi say, do we say that what? Since he has the ability to return to the Beis HaMikdash whenever he wants, therefore what? We will not treat that like a Hesech Hadas. So Rabbi say, hear the Shaila. So the Shaila is, if the Kohen leaves the Beis HaMikdash, does that, but when he returns, does he require a new Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim or not? What are the two sides of the coin? On one hand, he's left. Maybe that, by definition, that act of leaving brings to a close his act of sanctification. Therefore, he has to re-sanctify when he comes back. Or do we say, no, as long as he doesn't have a lapse of awareness, in other words, as long as his intention, ultimately, again, is to come back, and he controls when he comes back, perhaps that Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim should remain in effect. So Tashma, Kiddush Yadav V'Raglav V'Nitmu, so we'll say, if he sanctified his hands and his feet, and ultimately, again, then he became Tamei. They will say, now Rashi points out, we're talking about a form of rabbinic tuma. Look at Rashi, V'Nitmu, Hayadayim V'Davar She'in Tum Asa Min HaTorah, She'yitma Gufo, Ela B'Pigol O'Benoser She'shaninu She'metam Se'adayim. So we'll say, let's say, coin does his Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, then what happens? V'Nitmu, he becomes Tamei. But the tumor we're referring to over here is a rabbinic tumor. For example, handling of pigul. So we'll say rabbinic tumor only manifests in the hands. Only the hands are tamei. The rest of the body is tar. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Matbilin. So he immerses his hands in the mikvah. Bein tzarech lekadesh. Ultimately, again, he does not need to do another kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Yatsu. But if the coin leaves the Beis HaMikdash, then what? So zahari elu bikdushasan. Ultimately, again, he will still remain in a state of Kiddusha. Yatsu Yadav lo kami boilan. So we'll say, here's the issue. If he extends his hands outside of the basement, that's not our kasha. Ki kami boilan, yatsa kol gufo mai. What we're asking, we'll say, is not if the coin extends his hands outside of the basement, but what? His whole body leaves. What happens if his whole body leaves? Mai, what's the halacha? So tashma, shalo racho zidayim raglayim. So we'll say shalom rachos dam raglayim so mekadesh bikli shareis bifnim. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Shalom. Let me do that again. Shalom rachos yadayim raglayim. So we'll say mekadesh bikli shareis bifnim. Mekadesh bikli shareis bechutz o bechol kli bifnim. So we'll say o shetava b'mei ma'ara va'avar avadas apsula. So we'll say in any of these cases, where ultimately, again, he was Mekadish with the Kli Sharis Bifnim, or he went ahead and he was Kiddush with Kli Sharis Bechutz, or Bekli Chol Bifnim, or he went ahead and he immersed himself in Mei Ma'ara. So we'll say all of these cases, and he did the Avoda. What's the halacha? Psula. Why? Taima the Kiddush with Kli Sharis Bechutz. So they will say the reason for this Psul is because he sanctified himself with the Kli Sharis outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ha Kiddush Bifnim. But if he went ahead and sanctified himself with a kli in the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, the yatsa, and then he left, avodaso ksheira, the avoda would still be good. I will say, what do you see from here? You see from here that as long as there was a kilo shadayim v'raglayim, bifnim, with a kli sharis, even if he went out, assuming there was no hesach hadas, ultimately, again, the kilo shadayim v'raglayim still stands. So the Gemara says, Dilma, Kiddush bikli sharis b'chutz. Maybe the case over here ultimately is where he went ahead and he sanctified himself with the kli sharis, but it was b'chutz. So hey chidami, what's the case? Kigon the apik yodav lebar v'kiddush. We'll say maybe it's a case of ultimately what? Where he went ahead and he extended his hands outward, meaning outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and was mekadeshit ha kiddush bifnim v'yatsa. But I will say, if that's the case, the inference from that would be that if he sanctified on the inside, meaning he sanctified Kishan Raglama on the inside, the Yatsa, and then he left, the Apik Yadei Lebar, where ultimately now his hands extended outward, Kshira, it would be good, and that only by his hands. Aval Yatsa called Gufo Tibaylecha. But I will say, in a case where ultimately, again, his entire body leaves the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, we would still have the Kasha. Amri Rav Zidra Papa Tashma. Yotza chutz the mechitzas chomas hazara. If ultimately, again, the coin leaves the mechitzas of the hazara, im lishos taun trila, we'll say, if he's going to tarry there, then what? When he comes back in, he requires tevila. Now, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Dro say, now this is a case of where he's leaving the mechitzas chomas hazara. So we'll say he is leaving the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, even leaving the courtyard. So the way the Brice is phrased, we'll say, is im lishos. If he is there to tarry, then taun tevila. He's going to require tevila. And Rashi points out over here, kaslaka dait chomishum hesach hadas. We are assuming over here that the reason he has to do another tefillah is why? Because of Hesach Hadas. Im lefisha ta'un kiddush adayim v'raglayim. But I will say, if he's just going for a little bit of time, then he requires just kiddush adayim v'raglayim. So what's the case here? I will say, Amar lei, hachamai askinon, kigon sheyatza lahaseich raglov ulahatil mayim. Oh, we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where he's either going to defecate or to urinate. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. We learned those halachos explicitly. What's the explicit halacha? Rabbi Osai, and this is indeed halacha lemaisa. If the Kohen Gadol leaves the Beis HaMikdash in order to go ahead and take care of his needs, so when he comes back, he has to re-sanctify. The nature of that re-sanctification depends on what he did. If halacha lemaisa, he defecated, when he comes back to the Beis HaMikdash to work, ta'un tevila. He requires immersion in a mikvah. On the other hand, if he just urinates, then ta'un kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Then halacha lemaisa, he requires a re-sanctification of his hands and feet. And I will say, that is indeed, we actually saw that. The Rambam made mention of that in passing. The Rama made mention of that in passing over here. Same halacha. Perekei halacha gimel. V'hu shlo yotza min hamikdash, v'lo shlo yashan, v'lo yatil mayim, v'lo yosech daito. Ultimately, again, halacha, so Rashi says over here, the Rama says, v'chol ha-mesech esraglav ton tevila, if he goes ahead and defecates, he requires immersion in the mikvah. V'chol ha-metil mayim ton kiddushan raglayim. And if he goes ahead and urinates, he just requires a re-sanctification, ultimately again, of his hands and his feet. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Tani v'hadr mefarish. First we state that halacha, and then we explain it. Good. So Tashma, so Bosai, so we begin to see over here that this, so first of all, so look, let's go with what we know. We know, number one, Kiddush Adayv Raglai maximum only lasts until the following day. So Bosai, once the night passes and you want to restart the new day of Avoda, you require a new re-sanctification. Person goes out, coin goes out to urinate, requires new sanctification. Coin goes out to defecate, requires tevila in a mikvah. Now the Rambam points out over here, Yotzo Chutz L'chomas Ha'azara, if he left the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, Im Lishos Bochutz Yotza Kishechozer Ton Tevila, Vim Lachzer Miyad Yotza Kishechozer Ton Kishechayim Raglayim Bilba. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. If you leave the precincts of the Beis, you leave the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, so we'll say if he's out of the Beis HaMikdash for some significant amount of time, then when he comes back, he requires Tevila. If it's just an in and out, he requires another Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Watch this. Tashma, Para. We'll say, what about for the Para Aduma? Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef Amar, Mekadish Bekli Sharis Bifnim, V'yotze. So Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, says that what? So for the Para Aduma, Rabbi Yosef, he's going to do the Para Aduma. First, he requires Kiddush Adayim V'raglayim, right? And then, ultimately, he's Yotze. Now, Rabbi Yosef, remember again, the Avoda of the Para Aduma is not done out in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says, Para, Ba'avodas Para Aduma, Shichutz Liyushalayim Bahar HaMishcha. Also remember again, the surface of the Para Aduma is done on Har HaZeisim, also known as Har HaMishcha, then Har HaZeisim. But nevertheless, even though that Avoda is done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the first order of business is the coin requires Kiddush Adayim V'raglayim inside the Beis HaMikdash, and then goes out. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Ar Mekadesh Rekli Sharis Bifnim V'yotze, Rabbi Yochanan Amra Afilu Bachutz, Va'afilu b'klichol. So also Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you could wash your hands and your feet even outside of the Beis HaMikdash and even not with a kli sharis. Va'afilu b'mekido shalcheres, even with an earthenware drinking cup. Amar Papa, shiny para. So we'll say, but para is maybe not a good example over here. Why? Hoil v'chol ma'aseh b'chutz l'pasla b'yitzia. We'll say paradum is different. Why? Because since the entire avoda is done on the outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so again, In that case, lo pasla ba yitzia. Even if the kohen did kiddush adayim raglayim inside the Beis HaMikdash and then went out to do the para aduma, when he comes back, he need not do another kiddush adayim raglayim. Why? Because the entire avoda of the para is outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ihachi lamali de mekadesh. Ultimately, again, we'll say, if that's the case, that the whole avodah of the parah is done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then why does he require Kiddush Adayim V'raglayim to begin with? Ke'ein avoda pnim. We'll say ultimately again because we want the avoda of the para aduma to resemble avoda done inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Even though me'ikar adin, the avoda of the para aduma should not require kiddush adayim v'raglayim, nevertheless, we will do kiddush adayim v'raglayim in order that it resembles avoda done inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Iboilu, tuma ma'u shetor the kiddush adayim v'raglayim. We'll listen to this. What happens if the coin becomes tameh? If he becomes tameh, what's the impact of that tumah upon his kiddush adayim v'raglayim? So the Gemara says, "Imtim silamar yitzia lo pasla." So if you want to say that if the coin leaves the Beis HaMikdash, that doesn't invalidate the kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Why not the gavra chazi? Because even though the coin left the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless he is still fit for service. Aval halcha de gavra lo chazi asuchi masech daite. Proposed in a case where he becomes tamei, where the kohen himself is not fit for service, maybe that is called the hesech hadas, and therefore, again, after he purifies himself, he requires a brand new kiddush adayim v'raglayim. O dilma, keban dahader chazi v'lo masech daite. Or do we say what? Since the kohen knows that he is once again going to become fit for service, he doesn't have hesech hadas, and after he undergoes the purification process, which we'll say we're assuming right now is just rabbinic tumah, just immersing his hands in the mikvah, ultimately, again, there's no hesech hadas, and therefore, once he becomes tahor, he does not have to redo his kiddush adayim v'raglayim. So tashma, we learned, kiddush yada v'ragla v'nitba v'nitmu matbilin v'in tzarech l'kaddish. So we'll say, so therefore, what the braisa says that what? Kiddush yada v'ragla v'nitmu, if he sanctified his hands and feet, and then he became tameh. So we'll say, we're talking about over here where his hands became tameh, through some type of rabbinic tumah. Matbilin, so we have him immerse his hands in a mikvah, v'in tzarech l'kaddish. And he need not re-sanctify them after he becomes tar. Nitmu yadav lo mibaylan. We'll say, we're not asking if his hands became tameh. Kimi baylan. We'll say, what is our shayla? Nitma kol gufo. Ultimately, we're talking about a case where his entire body becomes tameh. So the Gemara says, kol gufo, tepokli, kevan debaylan me'avet herav shemesh, asuchi ma'isich daite. We'll say, if his whole body is becoming tameh, then generally, again, what? Once his body becomes tameh, that's going to require herav shemesh, which means he can't do the avoda the entire day. If he can't do the avoda the entire day, asuchi ma'isich daite. The assumption is he has a lapse in awareness. What's the case? Kigon de'itmi samach l'shkia sachama. What's the case we're dealing with over here is where what? He becomes tamei right before shkia. Because he becomes tamei right before sunset, there's no significant amount of time between the time that he becomes tamei and the time when he once again will become fit to do the avoda. That's our shayla. So Rabosei, we'll stop over here. I'm leaving you mid-shayla. So the fundamental shayla we're dealing with, Rabosei, is as follows. If the kohen becomes tameh in a way that he can't do the avoda now, but he's going to become fit for tumah in a relatively short amount of time, so when he becomes fit once again, does he require another kiddush adayim v'raglayim or not? And the fundamental shayla, Rabosei, is in the previous cases, the individual was fit for service. There was just some other factor. In this case over here, the individual is not fit for service. So do we say because he's not presently fit for service, therefore what? There's a hesech hadas, and because there's a hesech hadas, he has to re-sanctify his hands and feet when he once again becomes fit for service? Or do we say no, since it is his intention ultimately again to do the avoda, therefore what? Halacha lemaisa, there is no hesech hadas, and when he becomes tahor, he does not need to re-sanctify his yadayim v'raglayim. That we will emirat Hashem resolve tomorrow.
Question about Kabila, if he defecates. Kabila, is he then required also to do...